You're listening to Sarah Talk. It's political.
This rhetoric about make America great again. Tell me when America was great and we'll go back there. I'm going with you.
Critical.
Hang on, let me change some words here. All right, ready?
Adults with religious confusion who truly believe in a higher power that created us and actually cares what we do with our penises and vaginas should be treated with care, compassion, and kindness, but must not be officially affirmed in their confusion, no matter how sincerely held.
Fuck you.
And positively LGBT positive.
In many states, you can still be evicted from housing simply for being gay or transgender. Stand and fight with us.
Oh, and occasionally, completely absurd.
I don't know if you've ever seen a lightning bug, but he flies around with a flame, a light coming out of his behind. The lightning bug got a flame coming out of his butt.
It's a beautiful night tonight. All the sodomites are out.
And now, from Orlando, Florida, your host, Sarah Austin.
Hey everybody, welcome to Sarah Talk. I'm Sarah Austin. This is episode 56. In the studio with me, as always, my lovely wife, Becca.
Hello.
Who is crafting in the corner there.
Yes. It's therapeutic. don't judge.
It's arts and crafts time all the time. And the artist formerly known as MK.
Oh, hello.
Welcome back.
Gracias, gracias.
Today, we are going to have a conversation about summer camp.
Yay!
Summer's coming, right?
I never went to summer camp.
I never was able to go to summer camp.
I have a tortured story about summer camp that I'm sure I will tell later.
I wish I had a tortured story.
Me too.
A torture?
Well, I do have
a tortured story, but it's not about summer camp.
It's not about, yeah, I have one.
And then at the end of the show, we'll remind you about some of our events that are coming up on next week's show. Next week, we're not going to be here. We're going to be in lovely Colorado.
Vacation time.
Oh.
So.
Can you hear the water?
No.
And the birds? Yeah. Nope.
Beyond
I don't think Colorado is known for water.
The cool mountain breeze.
Yeah.
That's where we'll be.
I'll bring my bottle of H2O.
Oh, please do. So, we'll be in Colorado. We will have a show prepared, ready to go. That'll either be Heather Boyd. We talked to her about her story. Mm-hmm. We released that to patrons early. Or we are also going to be talking to Emily Sigrist, who is a podcaster in Seattle, who does a podcast called Queer Now. So we'll be talking to her soon, too. But either way, there will be a show for you next week. It just won't be live and we won't be here in the studio. Cool.
Do you need something to play with, Michael?
I have something.
He's like straightening the desk out here. Play with that.
It's like Trump. When Trump sits down, he has to like move the cup and shuffle the papers. Have you noticed
that? He's getting things ready.
Right.
Big shit's going to happen.
Every time he stands up to the microphone, he moves the microphone.
It's like, I'm destroying the country. Let me just make sure I'm doing
everything
it
in is
clean.
In order. All right.
Step one.
Now, we talked from time to time about summer camps. We've talked about Camp Quest in the past, and which is, if you're not familiar, a secular camp specifically designed to offer a summer camp that isn't infused with religion. And because religion is so often entangled in discrimination against LGBT people, secular camps often intersect with the queer community. But today we're going to highlight a summer camp that's specifically set out to address the needs of LGBT youth, Rainbow Camp. Harry Stewart is the founder of Rainbow Camp and is the chair and president of Welcome Friend Association, which hosts the camp. And he joins us now. Harry, welcome to Sarah Talk.
Hey, thank you. It's great to be here.
I'm super excited to have you on and share the camp with our listeners here.
Awesome.
First, let's talk a little bit about you, your story, kind of how you came to start this organization and eventually the camp.
I actually come from a religious background, the United Church of Canada, and I got married here in a small town of 1,400 people.
Mm-hmm.
And we... Because of my involvement with the local church, my partner and I felt somewhat disconnected. So we created this organization to help bridge the faith community and the local LGBT community in the area and try and bring them together.
That's
and
awesome.
We did a couple of conferences, and then it became pretty apparent that there was nothing for kids.
Yeah. Now, I grew up in a small town of about 1,400 myself, so we probably connect on that small town experience. And this was true for me, perhaps for you as well, but I grew up in the 80s and 90s, And being gay was still always talked about in hushed tones. Being a small town, everyone knows everyone. Everybody knows everybody's business. What was that like for you growing up?
It was hard. I pretty much figured out where I was when I was 15 or 16, but I didn't come out until I was 19. I came out then because the next step for me was getting married, because I was going out with a local girl during high school just to fit in.
Mm-hmm. And there was no support system, of course, in a small town like that?
No, and actually the high school that I went to, there was no support either.
Gosh. Now, you know, that's a very common theme in the conversations that we have with folks from small towns. And it's really frustrating knowing, you know, I never had any affirmation or support system. Like, if anyone had found out back then that I was cross-dressing, and remember, like, transgender was not even a word back then, it would have been a major scandal. Is that gap in support something that led you to create the Welcome Friend Association and then ultimately the Rainbow Camp?
Yeah. It became apparent that there was really nothing for the kids. And actually, like you said, not a lot of change. Like in Canada, we have a lot of LGBT friendly laws and all this kind of stuff. But whereas our society hasn't quite caught up.
Yeah.
And a lot of our kids are coming to us. They're coming from cities too, but small towns, and even in the cities, we hear the same story that they just have nowhere to fit in. They can still feel alone.
Mm. Now let's talk about the camp. It's a one-week camp in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, which is right near the border with Michigan, right? Give us a little overview of what the camp experience is like.
Okay. As you said, we're right on top of Michigan, and most of our kids fly in from into the airport, and the camp is actually about an hour away, and it is in the middle of nowhere. It's not far from my local hometown, but still the kids are going from rural settings or city settings into the bush, basically.
Mm. Run and, into the bush.
Bush.
Run in the bush.
In the bush. The forest with the bugs.
Yeah.
And it was fun. The first year we did it, I remember one girl getting off the plane and wanting to know where the mall stop was.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
She passed it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you missed that stop.
You flew over it, honey. No.
What's a mall?
How far away? I can't believe I haven't mapped this. You guys know me better. How far away is the nearest Timmy's? That's the most important thing.
It is. The nearest Timmy's is 50 minutes away.
Oh my God,
I'd die.
I couldn't do it.
Nope.
Yeah. Sorry, you have to move the camp.
Yeah, the nearest theater is an hour away. So
wow.
If we want to go see shows or anything, it's an hour drive. One way.
You get away from it all, right?
That's, we're talking about, you're definitely getting
camp,
away.
Right.
I mean, Timmy sells bag coffee. Yeah, I mean, I guess you could stock up if you had a really good, you know.
You can have a good coffee maker.
What's the closest thing to you?
The closest thing to it in regards to...
Civilization.
Well, Sault Ste. Marie is about 70 or 80,000 people. Then it just go across, we call it the ditch, but go across to Sault, Michigan. It's a smaller city. Toronto is 6.5 hours away.
Wow.
Well,
don't plan on going there.
So if you want a good meal, you better have a chef with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hot dogs and s'mores for days.
We have some good restaurants, but I hear you.
So one thing I really appreciated was the on your website, the all gender restroom sign. It reads, "This bathroom has been liberated from the gender binary." I love that. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. I wondered though, given the way adults have a hard problem with gender overall, as we're seeing with legislation all over the states, have you had concerns from parents or campers, or do they kind of come in with a basic understanding of how all this really works? And what about cabin assignments? Is in a world where we understand there to be more than two gender identities, how are the cabins set up? And sorry, that's a lot of questions all at once.
Okay, well, I'll start with the cabins because then it'll tie into the washroom.
Okay.
The cabins are based on age, not gender.
Mm, okay.
And it works really well. We have counselors in the cabins at night so that the kids always have have support and whatever. But yeah, we break the kids. This year we're doing two 1 week camps, ages 12 to 14 and 15 to 17. And if there's 35 kids on site, there's another 35 / volunteer / counselor. So our ratio is 1:1.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
That's great.
We work really, really hard at creating safe space. And it starts with the cabins and then with the washrooms. The camp facility has gender bathrooms, but we cover up the urinal stalls. And it doesn't take long for the kids just to feel comfortable in whichever one they want to go in.
That's so cool. So cool. Now, as far as the camp goes, you do traditional campy type things like canoeing and swimming and that sort of thing. But you also host interesting workshops. How is the Rainbow Camp different in this way from perhaps maybe a normal, quote, normal summer camp?
We do sessions. As you said, we do an educational component. One of the things when we were founding Rainbow Camp and Welcome Friend Association, we wanted to become a charitable organization. And camps up in Canada don't automatically fall under a charitable status. So either 60% of your time has to be religious or education.
Ah.
And for the kids, it was pretty important for us to be able to help educate them. In 2012, it was just getting the terms and finding out what they were and where they fit in. Last year, the kids have all the LGBT, the whole spectrum. They know what everything is. they just don't know where they fit in.
Yeah.
So we run anti-bullying. We do sex education. We do trans workshops, yoga, self-defense. There's usually two or three things going on at one time so that the kids can pick what they want to go to.
That's cool. And I saw on your website as well, like social activism and legal rights, and you're exploring some things that obviously, you know, our binary system, right? I'm sure Canadian schools are not for too much further ahead than, although every time I read the news, you guys are way out in front of us. But as far as, you know, teaching sex ed in schools, like what these kids are learning, it probably has many, many, many gaps if you don't fit into the gender or sexual binary.
Exactly.
Oh, what's the atmosphere in those sessions like? Is it like a counselor guided open discussion? Is there, you know, do they kind of have an agenda and talking points? What's that like?
It varies on the workshop.
Okay.
Some things are led, and some things just kind of develop. We had one counselor last year that was, for lack of a better term, going through the process of change, mm-hmm. and so shared an awful lot of the transformation process.
Wow.
And the kids loved it. 75% of our kids last year were trans.
Oh, that's crazy.
Wow.
Wow, that's a large number.
And all of our counselors started off as female.
Wow. That's very interesting. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it. I mean, there's nothing like Rainbow Camp in my mind, but there's nothing like seeing these kids coming in. And I'll be honest, they look pretty terrified because they're in the middle of nowhere. They're out of their comfort zone. And within a couple of hours, they've figured it out.
Yeah.
And we work really, really, really hard at creating safe space. So they know that no matter what they're going through or where they are, we're there for them. And that's what we tell the counselors. It's not about the counselors. If you came thinking that you were going to be, oh, this is all about, you know, being a counselor and how great it is. No, it's all about the kids.
Now, the only summer camp available in my little farm hick town was hosted by one of the seven churches in town. Only one of them had a youth group, and the one year they talked me into going to church camp. And of course, the primary purpose was really to proselytize. That was their goal, you know. It was the most uncomfortable thing in the world. I remember I was probably in the beginnings of feeling different. Like, I didn't know that there was a gender thing going on. I didn't really know what was going on, but I definitely felt like I didn't fit in with this crowd. And I was sitting in the church waiting to load up the vans to leave. I'll never forget this, and I have a terrible memory, so it says a lot. I'm sitting waiting for the van, playing my guitar, and a string snapped on the guitar and I didn't have a spare. Right? Now, back then, I was still a believer, so I applied my best confirmation bias and attributed this as the sign from God that I was waiting for that meant I didn't go. I shouldn't go. And so I didn't go. What I think is cool about your camp is that it's specifically set up to be accepting and that it meets people where they are. Obviously, keeping privacy in mind, is there a success story or two you can share from the campers? Like, have you, you know, has someone closeted decided to come out to their family after the experience, or campers that have come back as staff? Like, how is the camp changing lives?
I'll give you one example comes to mind really quick. It was our first year, actually, and this young man, the camp comes in on a Sunday, and it was Monday morning. We were doing one of the sessions or whatever, and he said to the group, he said, you know, my mom found some dresses in my closet a couple of months ago, and I told them they were my sister. And I guess when he got out of the car with his luggage, he had the dresses with him, and he said, Mom, I just want you to know that I lied to you. These are my dresses. And he told the kids, who he'd only, you know, not even 24 hours, said to the kids that he felt so safe with them that he would like to put the dress on at lunchtime.
Oh, my God, that's so amazing.
The kids, I mean, it was just awesome. He came out. He was stunning. He was himself. And we still keep in touch with him and his mom. And his mom credits camp for saving her son's life.
Gosh, that's so amazing.
It's pretty cool, and there's lots of stories of, and now that we've done it, this is our sixth year, so we're getting camp culture now. So kids are coming back. We have one trans kid that was at camp and now is a counselor, going to be a counselor again this year, so twice, and it's just really cool to see the development happening.
So let's talk about the leader in training program too, as far as, you know, speaking of development. Sure. Who can become a camp counselor and what kind of training do they get?
Most of our counselors are coming from some sort of social worker program, whether it be child and youth.
Okay.
But they're 19, 20, 21, they're older. And what's happening is because we stopped camp at 17, there's kind of this gap for the 18 or 19 year olds.
Right.
So we're doing it for two reasons. And one is very selfish, and one is for the kids, because they want to continue on with camping. So the 18 and 19 year olds will be part of the older kids camp and doing some training, and then we'll actually be working with the younger kids the second week. And that's for two things. One is to help build up self-esteem and know what's going on with camp. But because we're 1 week, and because basically the counselors are on for 24 hours a day, the counselors are wiped. So as we grow, that's one of the things that we have to look at, is how do we save our counselors' energy level? And one of the things that we thought was, this would be a really great way to help spread the workload and to help them understand what it's like to be a counselor.
So now you're gearing up for August, right? August 13th through the 18th is the kind of the older group, 15 to 17, and that's also when you're doing the Leaders in Training program.
Yep.
And then August 20th through 25th is the younger group, 12 through 14, right?
Yes. I was going to say a little bit on the CIT training stuff too, is a lot of our youth are last to be picked in social activities and things like that too. So the CIT is to help give them some self-esteem and to really feel appreciated.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. I was the last in everything.
Me too.
Always.
Me too. No one picked me.
No. Never.
Nobody ever even picked me for Red Rover.
I was a tall one. They never picked me for basketball. I'm like, I'm 6'3". And they were like, oh, yeah. He's awkward. Yeah. Let him stay in the corner. He probably feels more comfortable there. Someone give him a milkshake.
But it's interesting because I had, I learned mechanisms to kind of work around that stuff when I was a kid. Like, again, I would always be picked last. Nobody wanted me on their team. But like when we'd play softball in PE, right? I couldn't bat for shit, and everybody knew it. I was the one where, when I came up to the plate, they would all right, everybody come in closer, right? You know, and so I had this, and it helped that my uncle was the PE teacher, and I kind of get away with whatever I wanted. But as I would be in line, and as the next kid would come back from running the bases or whatever, and come back into the batting lineup, I would just be like,
hey, Michael, you want to go in front of me? And so I was like perpetually the last kid in line on purpose so that I didn't have to bat because it was they were going to make me feel like shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't have a morale boosting, self-esteem boosting program like this. And God, I wish I had.
One of the things that we also tell the kids is they don't have to participate in anything. If we're doing capture the flag or canoeing or swimming, they can opt out because most of our kids have always been told what they have to do. So we want to empower them. Now, they have to be at the site of the activity so we can see what. So they're still a part of it, but they're not actively, and it's not a problem. And you'll find that, well, we find by the second or third day, they're in there anyway.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But the option is to make sure that the camper knows that they don't have to do anything.
That's awesome.
Yeah, when they feel like they're forced to do something, sometimes kids can, you know, feel like they're, you know, they're being, you know, forced to do something,
right?
Or even conforming, right? I mean, you're forced to conform 51 weeks of the year, so let's give them a week that they can be themselves.
That's amazing.
So if people want to find out more about the camp, the website is rainbowcamp.ca. And of course we'll have all the links in the show notes of this episode, episode 56. But I wanted to make sure to take a moment first to talk about, the cost of sending someone to camp. Now this is the critical piece. And I would imagine you have campers who want to come, who may come from less privileged communities. Talk a little bit about the cost of operating Rainbow Camp and the sponsorships that help offset that cost, and about your fundraiser.
Sure. Camp registration is $350. That is for the 5 days. And if the camper cannot afford that, then we will help. We will sponsor them. We can provide travel to and from camp from anywhere in Canada, and we have worked on working with kids from the U.S. as well. Mm. The actual cost per camper is about $2,000. Our budget for a two-week camp is $100,000.
Oh, wow.
And it's my partner and I, we work pretty much full-time now doing fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, if you go to helprainbowcamp.com, we have a GoFundMe or a fundraising site that is helping raise funds. Our goal, we need $40,000, and we have till the second week in June, I believe, is our cutoff date, and then we have to make a decision. Our 15 to 17 year old camp is full, and we're on a waiting list and filling up quickly with the younger kids, but we may have to cut a week.
Oh, wow.
And that's pretty sad because it's the first time we've been able to offer the 2 weeks, but it comes down to dollars and cents.
Sure.
And we have Colin Mockery and his wife, Deborah McGrath, as spokespeople.
That's awesome. I love Colin.
Yeah. So it's been pretty amazing, but it's really, I mean, if everybody donated $10, it would be truly amazing. But it's hard. We've got Twitter going, and I'm getting a lot, my email is getting plugged up with the retweets and all this sort of stuff, but we've raised, I think, about $9,500, and I need $40,000, sorry.
Right, right. So we have a little ways to go. And,
yes. You know, no pressure at all. No stress on my part, no.
No. Why would that be stressful?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You need Oprah.
Oh, God. Or Ellen.
Ellen might be better for that.
Ellen might be able to help you out.
But seriously, like, retire, they said. You'll relax and enjoy your later years, they said.
Yeah, I need a vacation from retirement.
Right.
You got to start a GoFundMe page for that one.
I'm serious. You need to get a hold of Ellen. She knows people at Shutterfly. They give out checks all the time.
Oh, we're trying. One really unique thing that happened to us last year and the year before is we had a film crew on site. A private company came in and got release forms and everything, and it's being privately funded. They have a sizzle reel out right now, and they hope to have a 75-minute documentary and premiere it in September.
Oh, wow.
Which would be really awesome. Doesn't help me right now, but it'll certainly bring attention, hopefully, to camp and what we're doing.
Well, obviously, we'll do anything we can to help out, and I would encourage all of our listeners to check out Rainbow Camp and help fund the program. Anything we can do to help support LGBT youth is absolutely worth it. It's programs like this. One of these days, we're going to look back and think, do you remember when the trans suicide rate was 41%?
Because I'm telling you, programs like this will create and reinforce support structures that these kids will use all throughout their lives and may likely be saving lives. Literally saving lives. The education you guys are doing is awesome and very much needed in our community. And I just really think that affirming programs for kids are so necessary for their well-being and they're learning skills that apply outside of their sexual or gender experiences too. And that's fantastic. It's a well-rounded program.
It's I have to say it's pretty cool. On a another note, around that, every day we check in to see what their pronouns are and what their gender is, because it does change.
Yeah,
which for this old guy can be confusing, but it's okay. I don't mind. That's what it's all about.
But you've created the atmosphere where they feel safe enough to say, hey, it's changed today. Yeah.
Yep. That's awesome.
So
Bobby might want to be Michelle, and it's pretty cool. And the neat thing is, like you said, it's safe space. So Porter Airlines is a small. It's another airline in Canada. And last year, they allowed all the kids to use the preferred names on their boarding pass.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's so cool.
That's cool.
Just amazing.
Wow.
Well, just to see the name you'd like to see and make you feel more comfortable on a piece of paper, even if they're not shouting, Elizabeth, are you here? Just to have that little piece of paper to hand to the staff.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty cool.
The affirmation is a big thing.
The smaller the thing, sometimes the bigger the feeling, you know?
Yep.
All right. Again, if folks want to learn more, register for camp, which is pretty well full at the larger group, but we definitely need people to help fundraise.
Yeah.
Get more information about the Leaders in Training program. The website is rainbowcamp.ca. And for the fundraiser, visit helprainbowcamp.com. And of course, again, we'll have all these links in the show notes for episode 56 as well. Harry, thank you for joining us today, and especially for the wonderful things you're doing with these kids. I really wish this had been something I had when I was a kid.
And I wish you guys were closer. I would want to be over there and just kind of help out and give
you the
camp counselor.
Be a camp counselor. I'll be the best counselor ever in the world.
There you go. Well, it's really not that far. Come on.
I'm going to start walking right now.
You might get there in time for camp.
Let's have you guys.
Let's try to stay in touch. And if there's any way we can help in the future, I would love to be a part of that. We're 100% on board.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Harry Stewart, the chair and president of Welcome Friend Association and the founder of Rainbow Camp. We know it's not much, but especially as our Patreon base grows, we want to make sure we're using some of that money that we get from Patreon to give back. So we will be setting the example and making a donation at helprainbowcamp.com later on today, and I really hope that you will consider making one as well. We're going to take a quick break now. We've got a little bit of time for some news, so we will come back after the break and get into some of the news of the day. And do all of that and more and then some. And
wow, really?
All of that goodness right after this. You're listening to Sarah Talk.
It's happening.
Starting June 23rd, ending June
25th. 2017.
This one's explosive.
It's the Prime 48 2017 Summer Live Streaming Weekend!
All your favorite little shoes.
Streaming live!
June 23rd, 24th, and 25th.
Why can't I have a candy bar?
Stand by for all of this and more.
For the latest information, go to pride48.com.
Sarah Talk is made possible by our patrons. We love our patrons. If you're not a Sarah Talk patron, you're missing out.
We should do a parody show for bathroom bills at the dog park. Like dogs fighting over which dog gets to pee where. Yeah.
Or the owners.
Yeah. I feel uncomfortable that my dog has to shit on the transgendered lawn. Fuck that.
Our Patreon fans get access to special patrons-only content, like this nearly two-hour-long bonus episode where we break down Texas Senate Bill 6, the bathroom bill, with our special guest, Jake Vahaba.
My dog hunches over and takes a big runny shit. It's gonna do it with other straight shit dogs. which is the argument I hear.
Yes,
so.
Yes, exactly what I envisioned.
My dog knows what it is, and it may fuck other men dogs sometimes, and pillows and shit, my kid. But I'm not having my dog shit next to other transgendered hump dogs.
Not only do our patrons get access to all previous patron-only specials for less than the price of a tall whatever Starbucks tries to pass off as a coffee, you'll get an ad-free version of the show, which often includes outtakes and extended segments. And of course, we'll give you a special shout-out on the show. Become a patron now for as little as $1 per episode. Go to patreon.com/saratalk today. That's patreon.com/saratalk. Welcome back to Sarah Talk. I'm your host, Sarah Austin. In the studio with me today, my wife, Becca, and the artist formerly known as MK.
Formerly known as MK.
Currently known as MK.
Michael Kaplan.
Prince didn't like die Prince. When he changed it to formerly. Just because he's dead now doesn't mean. But he used to be the artist formerly.
Yeah.
Known as Prince.
Yeah, yeah, for a while. And then it was the sign.
He was the artist. And then he was the sign.
And then open up my eyes.
You can only sing 4 seconds of that before we get charged for royalties. No,
oh,
I'm kidding.
Crap. Oh my
I'm
God. Kidding. Yeah.
That's a good way to shut somebody up.
So, hey, that was a really great interview.
Yeah, it was.
I want to go to Rainbow Camp.
I do
now.
Too.
Like holy shit.
In all seriousness,
what's the cost for a 34-year-old woman from Florida?
If we donate our time, it's free because they don't have anything old enough for us.
Right. Well,
this stops at 17, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we would have to be.
We'd have to
free.
Work. Right.
We'd have to work.
We'd work. And that's fine. I would totally work.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And I wish we had stuff like that around here.
We'll give you a scrunchie and we'll just go out there.
Now, there was a point you wanted to bring up that we kind of skipped over and didn't get to.
Yeah, I was reading on their website, and it's not just for children and teens in the LGBT category. They also open for allies and family.
Siblings, yeah.
Siblings, kids who might have parents.
Like our kids.
Right. So yeah. I thought that was really cool because, you know, it's not just a bunch of kids under the same umbrella, but they're allowed the diversity of other children too.
Right. And that blends into a whole nother range of topics that you get to help kids work through and talk about, you know, like, well, when my brother comes out, like, and you're processing that as a sibling, or when a parent transitions and all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's so awesome. Again, I'm going to go make a donation as soon as we're done recording today.
$1 million.
I do not have that much, but my God, if I could.
$1 million.
But let me add into that, right? So there's, I hate to keep begging you all for money. I really do. But two things, right? One of the things that we want to do with the show when we have the Patreon money to go beyond just paying for the website hosting and the bandwidth and all of the monthly stuff that we just have to pay for, when we have an excess of that, we want to use it to further a good cause just like this one. So, you know, yeah, we don't have a whole lot to send to them right now, but, you know, like Harry said, every $10 helps. So if you want to support us, we will continue to support organizations like that. That would be appreciated. And we definitely would request that you head over to helprainbowcamp.com and directly fund this program because I'm telling you right now, they're saving lives.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get into some news. We'll see how far we get. We have another interview lined up at 9, which we'll use on a further future episode.
Oh, we're way ahead of schedule.
Oh, yeah, we're cranking right along here. I love your phone case.
Isn't it awesome?
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Uh-huh.
When I ordered our flags, I almost ordered a couple of phone cases like that. Mm-hmm. But
this is really good.
We have our kids on ours, so I didn't want to. It's really cool.
You can like scratch.
Oh,
you can
it's do like a, an instrument.
You can be a rapper or whatever the hell that DJ. Get on the group. What? Oh, take down.
This is his formerly known as.
Yeah, this is the artist. Okay. This was really funny. This comes from the Raw story. 100 eighth grade students refused to pose with Speaker of the House Paul Ryan on Friday. So on Ryan's official Instagram, it features a photo of him waving to a group of students from South Orange Middle School in South Orange, New Jersey. And he was like fist bumping somebody. And he was like, happy Friday, fist bump. New Jersey, it does not show their peers sitting in the park across the street in an apparent rebuff of the GOP leader. It's not just a picture, said Matthew Malaspina, a student. It's being associated with a person who puts his party before his country. We got students smarter than the damn politicians up in here. And this is our future. So see this as the bright spot. See this as there are some young people out there who see the writing on the wall. When he learned of the school's impending photo op with Ryan, Malaspina texted his mother, he's, quote, just not going to do it. The point was, I don't want to be associated with him and his policies and what he stands for. An equal number of students opted to participate in the photo. So about half of them decided to be in the photo, half of them set it out. I thought it was very cool just seeing the man who is the third most powerful man in our country. It would be cool, even if you disagree with him, student Miles Handelman said. Parents were just as split about the message as the students sent with their dissonance. One parent took to Facebook to complain that these kids should, quote, respect the office of the Speaker of the House, even if they disagree. Others commended the teens for standing up for their beliefs. Oh, that was fun.
Well, I wish that, I don't know. I really like all these stories that are coming out with all the college kids and high school kids that are actually standing up and saying this is BS.
Yeah.
I just wish that they were old enough to vote, most of them.
I know, but...
Or that they, you know, like, I don't know.
But again, right, keep in mind, they will be.
Yeah.
And some of them by the next election, right?
It's true.
If I don't know, are these middle school kids?
Well, if it's, yeah, if they're high schoolers, then yes.
I wasn't paying
yes,
attention but... when I read. These are eighth graders.
Oh, right? Yeah, so, they have a few years.
But yeah, there are kids out there who get it and who will be voting soon. And hopefully, you know, hopefully that'll be enough. The next story comes from my email box.
Oh, all the way from my email box.
Oh, is this the one I saw in the preview?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Oh. My weekly email from Donald Trump.
Oh,
Sarah. I've said it before, and I will say it again. The fake news media is the real opposition. It's a 24/7 barrage of hit jobs, fake stories, and absolute hatred for everything we stand for as a movement. And the same talking heads that said Hillary Clinton had a 99% chance of winning the election now think they can speak on behalf of the American people. It's time once again to release our mainstream media accountability survey to show that the American people are fed up with the fake news machine. I need you to take the media accountability survey to do your part to fight back against the fake news attacks and deceptions. Now, this is the poll that's like, do you support Hillary Clinton and fake news or do you support Donald Trump, basically?
Before I forget, because back up to the very first sentence when you called it a movement. Did he write this on his toilet at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Sure.
Was it a bowel movement?
11:41 a.m.
Oh, is there any clarification?
They don't care about the truth. They don't care about what's right. They only care about propping up the liberal Democrats they worship. There is nothing they won't do to stop us. This is a fight we can't afford to lose. The future of America hangs in the balance. Our country is at stake. Hang on.
Rob lost America.
We have a chat message in our Spreaker.
Hey, who's on Spreaker?
Russell.
Hey, Russell.
One
what's
of our
up?
Patrons. He says, oh my God, the patron ad. I'm dying. I don't ever hear them being a patron listener. I miss the ads.
Oh, that's
right.
Maybe
we need to do an ad reel just for the patrons.
Yeah. Well, I did post the, what was the one I posted? I posted the
water.
Yeah, the water one. Yeah.
H2O.
That's true.
That's funny. I let my dad listen to that.
Yeah?
Yeah, he thought it was hilarious.
That's great. Okay. So Donald Trump says, please take the survey to do your part and blah, blah, blah. Fuck you, Donald Trump.
God bless America and fuck
God
you.
God bless America. This story comes from the Friendly Atheist blog over at Patheos.
Patheos.
Let me click over to this article. Really?
Jeez, Michael.
Who put that there?
Bang into the microphone.
I went over this side and I forget my ear was in the way. And I got a country voice for some reason, I don't know.
On Wednesday, the Minnesota House of Representatives was debating whether or not to pass an amendment to an omnibus tax bill that would have closed offshore tax loopholes. Stay with me. As it stands, companies can use that loophole to avoid paying taxes in the state, which means there's more pressure on working class citizens to make up the difference. Again, right? So you can, I'm a corporation. I put a ton of my money invested in offshore accounts that's not in the American monetary system. It doesn't get taxed. It doesn't, nobody knows it's there. It's written into, like Donald Trump said, you wrote the loophole and I'm going to use it. Okay. Democratic State Representative Paul Thissen, who supported the amendment, had a fairly straightforward question for Republican State Representative Abigail Wellhen, who opposed it. Do you think benefiting people who are hiding money in Liberia is worth raising taxes on your own constituents? And I can't possibly say this any better than she does herself.
Will Representative Whalen yield to a question?
She will yield, Representative Thissen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Whalen, in light of what Representative Hornstein just said, do you think benefiting people who are hiding money in Liberia is more important and is worth raising taxes on your own constituents?
Representative Whalen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Representative Thissen, for the question.
I hope you're sitting down.
It might be because it's late and I'm really tired.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to take this opportunity to just share with the body something I have been grappling with over the past several months, and that is the games that we play here. And I just want you to know, Representative Thissen and the DFL caucus, I forgive you. It is okay because I have an eternal perspective about this.
Mm-hmm.
I have an eternal perspective, and I want to share that with you and with the people listening at home, that at the end of the day, when we try to reach agreement with divided government, we win some, we lose some, nobody's really happy. But you know what? Happiness and circumstances, not what it's about. There is actual joy to be found in Jesus Christ. Jesus loves you all. If you would like to get to know him, if you're listening at home, if you're here in this room, please email me, call me. I'd love to talk to you about Jesus. He is the hope of this state and of this country.
So,
oh my God, what the heck was she going with?
So
she was going to Jesus
about that offshore money.
She didn't go anywhere near the money.
No.
She went all the way to Jesus.
All the way to Jesus.
Yikes.
Are you kidding me?
I really thought
I forgive you.
I forgive you, Sarah.
What?
Because you said you said something about how you couldn't have summed it up better than she did.
Was she fired?
You think I could have?
No.
Oh.
I thought you were being serious. I thought she was going to say something relevant.
Oh, that's awesome. That is not my intention at all.
I did not pick up on the sarcasm until after she spoke.
I thought she was going to have, you know, she went, I'm tired. So I was like, okay, maybe she's going to speak like.
Right. From the heart.
Just this say is just something how I feel. Like, I'm just going to fucking say it.
Right.
And she fucking didn't say shit.
Now, her point about like the games that you play in politics.
True.
Okay, I'll get you there. But then you went like, completely. Yeah. You shanked the shot
there. I was waiting. I was like, she's going to say something good. They're going to cut her off. Police are coming in, take her. She's going to release some kind of information she's not supposed to release.
All right, I got a couple more here before we wrap.
Call me, email me, we'll talk about Jesus.
This story comes from the New York Times. Speaking of Jesus, Maddie Runkles has never been a disciplinary problem.
She has a 4.0 average at Heritage Academy, a small private Christian school she attends, played on the soccer team, and served as president of the student council. But when her fellow seniors don blue caps and gowns at graduation early next month, Ms. Runkles, 18, will not be among them. Can anyone guess why?
She's pregnant.
She's pregnant. The decision by school officials to bar Ms. Runkles from walking at graduation, which, can we stop for a minute and talk about that?
Was I right?
Yeah,
she
yeah.
is pregnant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I nailed it.
You did? Oh, you nailed, nailed her?
Well, oh, I didn't nail it, but I...
So, yes. That term walking, I think, is stupid. Oh, I'm going to walk.
Yeah.
Good for you. That's not, that's dumb.
Yeah.
Stop abbreviating shit. And to remove her from her student council position would have remained a private decision, but for her family's decision to seek help from Students for Life, the anti-abortion group, which took her to a recent rally in Washington, argues that she should be lauded, not punished, for her decision to keep her baby. Are we going to, are we Snapchatting? Are we, what are we doing? I look like crap. and you made me lose my place.
I'll put a filter.
She made the courageous decision, please. She made the courageous decision to choose life. And she definitely should not be shamed, said Kristen Hawkins, Student for Life president, who tried unsuccessfully to persuade the administration of Heritage Academy to reverse the decision. There has got to be a way to treat a young woman who becomes pregnant in a graceful and loving way.
I'd like to know what the consequence for the young woman's baby daddy. Like,
so later in the story, they don't name him, but he is not a student at the same school.
All right. Well,
he's a worldly, heathen, secular school person. Ugh. Or something like that. But here you go again, right? Religion being bad. Really? You're not going to let this girl walk to get her diploma?
See, but, and that's the thing. Like, okay, so it's a religious school.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, okay, so she worked all this, the whole school life.
Virgins. Virgins
no,
can walk.
No, I don't even care. She worked very hard to get her diploma.
Yeah.
For years, she went to school.
Yep.
And one night, it only takes one time to conceive a child.
Mm-hmm.
So
here's where,
like, if you're a true Christian, you have to have a wealth of forgiveness because that's what your Bible teaches.
Well, here's where the true Christians have their problem, right? Because they're all about abstinence only.
No
sex until marriage.
Doesn't matter. There's still what we call forgiveness.
But,
Jesus, their own Jesus,
I'm
forgave
with,
the freaking right.
The hooker.
The hooker.
Okay.
Yeah.
So listen. So they're weighing the abstinence only, don't have sex until you're married mindset with now also the right to life movement for the baby. Okay, so if you're a religious person, you know, how do you process that? The next story comes from Pink News.
Pink.
And I picked this story because we talk about pseudoscience and bad scientific studies, and here is a perfect example of this. A self-published study, claiming that eating too many fatty foods can cause homosexuality or make you transgender.
What?
Wait a minute.
I don't know if I want to go anymore. What?
Author Rita Strakosha, who says she has, an MPS degree in clinical psychology from Albanian University, sent the 56-page document to Pink News after self-publishing it as an ebook on Amazon in the document, which then she put up for free on her website to defeat the purpose of selling it as an ebook on Amazon.
She realized it wasn't worth anything?
Attempts to link homosexuality to an unhealthy diet. It claims, quote, homosexuals often eat large amounts of high glycemic index foods and fat eating an imbalanced diet leading towards carbohydrates. Some studies show an increased rate of obesity among homosexuals.
She been to Orlando?
Just listen. I know, right? Go to Gay Days. Gay Days is coming up. You'll see all the boys.
They're looking good. I'm sorry. She doesn't have a clue.
I just lost 100 pounds.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was after you came out of the closet, right?
Yeah. Hello.
Gay men, lesbian, and bisexual women report a higher odds of sugar-sweetened beverage consumption than straight men and women.
Where did she get this
Access to a high-calorie diet and alcoholic drinks was limited to the social elite circles in the past. Homosexuality, as well, appears to have been more frequent among that group. It's fucking ridiculous, and it goes on and on and on.
Okay. I know this is purely anecdotal, but I know that this study is wrong because I have a friend who is a transgender lesbian vegan.
There you go.
So,
yeah.
So maybe she's getting her vegans from a place where there's fatty foods.
So I know that study is wrong because I know.
Well, apparently you can't masturbate either.
Oh, shit. There goes everything.
The study quotes an ancient Chinese spiritualist who directs, quote, "In spring, man may permit himself to ejaculate once every 3 days, but in summer and autumn, he should limit his ejaculations to twice a month." I can't even read it. "During the cold of winter, a man should preserve his semen and avoid ejaculation altogether. One ejaculation in winter is 100 times more harmful than an ejaculation in spring." That lacks all the scientific knowledge about how sperm works.
You need to hit the bell. Semen were born. Well, it's time to ejaculate.
What? Where did you even find?
Pink News.
Is this on the Onion?
It's from Pink News. Pink News contacted the author for comment, but perhaps understandably, she has not responded. Another study recently claimed that homosexual behavior in women developed only because men get turned on by it.
Oh my, are you kidding? What? Like, because we're...
So obviously they left, you know, they left this article dripping in sarcasm. They made the point of saying this is a garbage study.
So... Yeah, that's kind of offensive.
Okay, I have two more stories, and we have Emily ready to go for the next show.
Oh, okay, cool.
Is she here?
No, she's on the phone.
This comes from CNN. A seventh grader, did you see this, gets most likely to become a terrorist award.
Oh my gosh. There was the other one, too. All these crazy teachers giving out these stupid awards.
No, your eyes are not deceiving you. These are real certificates that were typed up and presented to seventh graders at Lance... Corporal Anthony Agworth Junior High School in Houston. Of course it's in Houston. Quote, "Most likely to become a terrorist," one reads, "inside a border of cheerful stars." Another, given to a student in the same class, reads, "most likely to blend in with white people."
Oh, shit.
Lauren Easton, whose sister received the White People Award, told CNN there were others, including one that read, quote, "most likely to be homeless in Guatemala."
Are you kidding me? Who is this person giving these awards?
I want to give out an award.
What kind of...
Lizeth Villanueva was bestowed the unwanted terrorist honor. Told CNN affiliate KPRC, the teacher gave out different mock awards to students in her advanced learning class. The teacher told them they were supposed to be funny, but they might hurt some students' feelings.
Ugh.
"It was not a joke," Lizeth said. "I do not feel comfortable with this. I do not feel comfortable being in the same classroom with the teacher."
Oh my God.
The school has not publicly identified the teacher, but the administration released a statement apologizing for the event and promised an investigation. Easton, whose sister received the White People Award, Easton says this isn't the first thing the teacher has done that has raised eyebrows. Before this incident, the teacher, who is black, gave Easton's sister a black quiz to prove how black she was.
What the hell is going on in this school?
She's black?
The students who received the awards were enrolled in AVID, an advanced learning and college prep program. Can you believe that?
So the teacher's black?
That's what it said.
The teacher is black, or the student that took the black?
The teacher, who is black,
gave
Easton's sister a black quiz.
Black quiz.
All right, the final story.
Well, at least she was, I guess, at least the teacher was black if they're going to be.
The final story today.
At least black.
She's giving a kid a test to prove how black
she
the child is.
Right.
Yeah, that would be.
The teacher needs to be black if they're going to give that kind of test. But the teacher
but still,
also
he shouldn't
is
be doing
acting
it at all.
Like a terrorist and acting like.
The White People Award. That's racist.
That's all right. Very, yeah, that's just all of it.
The best news story start with?
A Florida man.
A Florida family was left with quite the deflated feeling after a nail.
I don't know how they could write this. This is fucking tragic.
A deflated feeling? Wait a minute.
Was left with quite the deflated feeling after a grumpy old man neighbor was caught on video pulling the plug on a bounce house at a birthday party for a young child.
That piece of shit. Someone needs to go over there and kick his wheelchair.
Police released footage from outside a Port St. Lucie home on Sunday showing a man walk into the backyard, unplugging the attraction, and then walking back across the street. Nearly a dozen kids between the ages of 2 and 3 were inside the house as it started to fall on them. All were rescued by parents and adults. Chaos. Absolute chaos, the birthday girl's godfather, Glenn Hunt, told NBC's Today Show. Some of the kids were crying. One of them actually was kind of traumatized by the incident. Another one, when he was being removed, his leg got a little injured. And I saw in another source, this is from NBC Miami, that 2 or 3 of them were taken to the hospital and treated for stress related. Police believe the man was trying to pull the plug to the DJ booth at the party instead of the bounce house. The man was identified, but police say he was uncooperative and has hired a lawyer. It was not clear if he would face any charges.
I would be filing a lawsuit.
Fucking way to go, Florida.
They could have suffocated.
Someone could have got stepped on.
Oh my God.
All right, we're going to wrap up this show. We have Emily standing by, ready to go pre-record for a future episode. So we're going to do that. But first, let me tell you about the events that we have coming up. On Monday, June 12th, Orlando United Day, this is the 1 year anniversary of the Pulse nightclub shooting. They are having an all-day thing in Lake Eola, and there's a couple of vigils at the Pulse site itself. So we are still intending, the details are not hammered down completely yet, but we are still intending to be a part of that event. Saturday, June 17th.
Polka Pride.
in Munn Park in Lakeland, Florida, in Polk County. That's why we call it Polk.
We got our confirmation package.
We do. We are booked. We are ready to go.
Excited about that one.
We will be tabling from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. So if you're in the area and you want to swing by in Munn Park in Lakeland, Florida.
Our tent came. We have to figure out how to assemble it.
Yes.
It did not come with a bag.
That's weird.
Yeah. I kept the box.
Okay. Saturday, June 24th, Pride48.com, which is a directory of LGBT positive podcasts and more, I'm learning, is doing its annual streaming weekend. It's the 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Our time slot is Saturday, June 24th from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern time. So I have to figure out what we're going to do for that show, but we'll book something fun for that. But come on out, represent. If you want to listen to some of the other shows that are on that network as well, head over to pride48.com and learn all you can about that.
Yeah.
As we leave the show here, I want to give a special shout out and thank you to our patrons who keep us going all the time. Thank you to Harry Stewart, who is the president of Welcome Friend Association and the founder of Rainbow Camp. Make sure you go check out his organization. It's really great. And support them if you can. For myself, Rebecca, and MK, you've been listening to Sarah Talk.
Sarah Talk is made possible by listener support. Visit patreon.com/saratalk to become a patron and help keep this program going. Contact Sarah and company by email at producer@saratalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. And follow us on social media, facebook.com/saratalkradio and on Twitter @saratalkradio. Saratalk is a production of Sarah Austin Media.